Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
If you got a Bible this morning, go ahead and get it out and open up with me to two different passages, both of them in the very back of your Bible, or the front of your Bible, rather. Joshua chapter 13 is the first passage that we're going to read, and then we'll skip a couple chapters over. In case we haven't met, my name is Brandon, and my wife and I, who you met earlier, we are the campus pastors here at this particular location. And I wanted to one more time say, on behalf of Pastors Gil and Debbie, our senior pastors, and our entire team, so glad to have you here today. It really is our heart and our desire every time we gather that more than just a worship service, that you would leave full of hope, that the love of God would touch your heart and you would leave here better than you came in, not because of songs or sermons, but because of the presence of a living Savior and his ability to speak to us right where we are. And so we're so glad that you're here today. Also want to just give a big greeting and a welcome. Today, we are joined via technology by our Catawba campus. We're one church, multiple locations, and today we are live streaming to our Catawba campus. So I know this might be a little bit weird or awkward, but can we just clap our hands and via applause welcome everybody at our Catawba location? Catawba, if we are together right now, that means that technology has worked and we have finally made it. Last couple of times we had a couple technical difficulties and our intention was to live stream and it didn't all the way work out. And so if we're together, that means you got power. That means there's been no technical glitches and we are finally all together in one place. But if you got a Bible, Joshua chapter 13, we're in this series that we've been in for the last number of weeks that we've simply entitled Habits of the Household, Habits of the Household. And here is the premise that if you don't hear anything else, you got to hear this today. The premise of the series, or kind of the big foundational piece, is this realization or revelation that you have to hold as truth. And here's what it is, that it really is God's desire, really is God's will, that all, someone say all, that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So like, don't let the coexist bumper sticker you saw the other day fool you. There is one way to the Father, that is through the person of Jesus. The Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the life. And in case you're wondering, the Bible goes, it actually is God's will, 2 Timothy 2:4. It is the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And in similar fashion, it's actually God's desire, God's will, that not only would you be saved, but that your family would be saved, that your children would be saved, that you have a household, a culture in your home that is a God-honoring, God-devoted, a godly household. And that's the premise right there that we're working from, that actually it's God's will that I live holy and devoted to him. But not just me, my whole family lives holy and devoted to him. My whole family is God-honoring and God-devoted, seeking his will and his desire, that my household would be a godly household, a godly home. And with that in mind, the premise of the series is this, that takes more. I know we're waking up, so someone just say more. That takes more than just you making a decision because you got inspired in a church service. That's it, God. From now on, we're going to serve the... Well, it's important that you make a declarative, definitive decision. We see this in the scripture. Pastor Spencer preached it last week from the book of Joshua, where Joshua goes, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. But come on, how many of you have ever made a decision before? And you were so inspired in the moment, but that decision, it started to fade. Like anybody who've ever decided before that from now on, that's it. No more gluten, no more dairy. I'm going healthy from now on. And you feel really good in the moment about it. And then someone has some Ben and Jerry's or someone makes some brownies. And you're like, well, I mean, like, I'm not trying to be like extreme about it. And the reality is that anything in our life, it requires the right habits, the right patterns. Did you know that whether it is intentional or unintentional, whether it's conscious or not, that all of us, we have habits and patterns that are building and shaping our entire life? Like you might feel like you're just, no, I'm spontaneous, I'm random. You might be spontaneous and random, but your spontaneity, it has habits and patterns. And if we really look back and evaluate our life, there's actually a pretty defined rhythm to our life, and the habits, the patterns of our life and of our household, they matter because they actually shape our life. They dictate and determine the direction we are moving. And here's kind of a recap from the last couple of weeks. We laid this foundation in the very first week that our habits are telling us something. Now, you might not want to admit it, and you might pretend like it's not true, but your habits actually are revealing to you who or what actually has first place. We said it this way, and this is a little stronger, so brace yourself. Your habits and your patterns, they reveal who and what you actually worship. No, Brandon, I only worship God. Cool. Awesome. But your habits and patterns tell you whether or not that's actually a true story. Pastor Spencer talked about this last week, that our habits and patterns not only reveal to us who and what has the priority of our life, but our habits and patterns reveal to us what we actually hold as true. No, Brandon, I worship God and God alone, and the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. That's the truth of my life. And you might think that, feel that, desire that, but the habits and patterns of your life actually tell you whether or not that's true. It's where the book of James would say it this way. You can talk all you want, and you can talk about your faith, but really your faith, it talks. That faith without works or faith without habits and patterns that authenticate, it's not really faith. It's just like religious rhetoric. And here's why this matters. And this is primarily for parents in the room, but even if you're not a parent, it's significant. The habits and patterns of your life not only reveal who and what you worship, they not only reveal what you hold as truth, but they're shaping you. They're shaping you. Because your habits and your patterns, they're leading you, they're directing you, they're directing your life in a direction, and they're shaping you. And here's the big deal. Not only are they shaping you, but they're shaping the life of your children and determining the culture of your home. Like, don't you wish, all the moms and dads, don't you wish that your kids, they just did what you said, not what you model? Wouldn't that be much easier? I found myself, and I repented, don't worry about it, but I found myself talking to my kids going, hey, we don't yell in this house, while I'm raising my voice to a level that could be considered yelling. It's the old adage that you don't necessarily teach people through what you say, you teach people through how you live. And the habits and patterns of our life, they're shaping us. They're dictating and determining not just who we are, but who we're becoming. And they're shaping our children and determining the culture of our home. Oh, habits and patterns, they matter. Here's what we've been doing. Rather than just saying, hey, on your way out today, you can pick up a list. It's a 3-page list. Here's all the habits you need. We now have a Lakeshore schedule. We all wake up at 6 a.m. and that'd be weird. If you ever go to church like that, you should run fast. That'd be weird. So instead of doing that, we're just laying out pillars, saying, all right, well, then if my habits matter, then how should I build the habits and patterns of my life? And here's what we said week number one. The first pillar we're putting in place is God has to come first. I can't tell you what time to wake up. I can't tell you how to steward and how to budget your finances. I can't tell you what your weekly, monthly, yearly rhythm should look like. But I will tell you that as you're thinking about those habits, patterns, and rhythms, the scripture would indicate God should come first. The Bible is so clear about it all throughout scripture that God unashamedly says, I am God, I come first. You honor me first. You seek first the kingdom of God. And secondly, we said this last week, that truth has to be our standard. Pillar number one, God comes first. Pillar number two, the truth of God's word is my standard. So what determines the borders and boundaries of my life? What determines how far I will go or how far I will not go? What determines my thoughts on sexuality? What determines my ideas about morality? What determines what I do and what I do? It is the truth of God's word. But the pillar I've put in place is, God, you come first. And secondly, that your word, it is the truth and the standard of my living and of my home. And this morning, as we continue in our series, I want to give you the third pillar we're laying, and it simply is this, that we have to determine we're going to live a life with no compromise. No compromise. Someone just say, no compromise. We got to determine, I'm living a life and I'm building a home where no matter what it means, there is no compromise in my heart. There's no compromise in our home, no compromise. I want to read to you from Joshua chapter 13, two somewhat short verses. We're going to go to Joshua 13:13, and then jump to chapter 15, verse 63. And they essentially say the same thing, but I want you to see again a pattern in the children of Israel. It says this, "Nevertheless, the children of Israel did not drive out the Geshurites, or the Maacathites, but the Jeshurites and the Maacathites dwell among Israelites until this day." You can go back to Joshua 13:13. "Nevertheless, the children of Israel," I want you to catch this, "did not drive out the inhabitants of the land." Now, Joshua 15:63 says this, "As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not," there's this phrase again, "drive them out. But the Jebusites," notice this, "they dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day." There are a number of scriptures that we could look at in the Old Testament that would say the same thing. There was a pattern in the nation of Israel that although God had commanded them, when you cross over the Jordan River and you inhabit the promised land that I'm giving you, that you are to drive out all the other nations, because their pagan worship, their carved images, what they will do is they will draw you into worship for them, and they will take you away from worshiping me. And what we see in the nation of Israel, what we see all throughout the Old Testament, is that they like 95% did what God told them to do. And they would like 95% drive out all the inhabitants of the land except for these ones and these ones, and what we see throughout their nation's history is that because they did not fully obey or fully drive out, we'll say it this way, because they allowed there to be compromise time and time again, their hearts were taken away from God and were given to worship of other gods and other idols. If you're taking notes, you can write this down, the title of the sermon today. I want to take from these passages and simply title the sermon this way, "Drive It Out." Drive it out. Drive it out. One more time, just for good measure, and because we're having a family service at Catawba, all the kids especially, look at your neighbor and just say, "Drive it out." Come on, make sure we're awake today. Drive it out. Drive it out. You know, we live in a culture today where it seems like the rhetoric a lot of times is like, well, you know, Pastor, like, we're definitely Christians. We definitely honor God. We definitely go to church. But, you know, there's just a couple things. And, like, it's not that bad. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that bad. It made me think of an old story that I heard a long time ago. And if you were ever a student in the youth ministry that I pastor, you probably heard this story at least more than once. In fact, my wife said this morning, "I think you told that story recently." I don't remember it, so I'm telling it anyways. But I heard a story a long time ago about a dad and his two sons. And mom was out of town for the weekend, and just the dad and the two sons, and they had some friends come over. And the dad's just kind of doing some house chores, and the boys are all hanging out, and he happens to pass by the living room, and they're watching a movie. And the movie was borderline inappropriate. So he pops his head in and goes, "Hey, boys, we shouldn't be watching this. This is not appropriate." And the two sons look at the dad and go, "Come on, Dad, it's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. It's not that bad." And so the dad, whether he's full of wisdom or not, he goes, "Okay, check." And boys keep watching the movie, and he goes into the kitchen and he finds the brownie mix that was in the cupboard. And he makes some delicious double chocolate, caramel, pecan, whatever they were, brownies. But before he puts them in the oven, he goes in the backyard. They got a dog named Charlie. And he finds a surprise that Charlie had left in the yard. And he didn't get the whole surprise, just a little bit of it. Just a half a Charlie turd, just a little bit. He puts in the brownie batter, mixes up real good, and he bakes those brownies. Later on, the boys are all hanging out. Hey, boys, come here. Mom's out of town. I think we should have some brownies. Oh, Dad's the best. And so they start digging into these hot, warm, gooey brownies. The boys are like, tastes different. Dad, I don't think you know how to make them like Mom makes them. And the dad goes, well, I followed all the directions, but I added one special ingredient. I added one of Charlie's turds. They're throwing up, disgusting. And the dad goes, what? It's not that much. It was just a little bit. Point taken. Jesus says this in the New Testament. Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Beware of the leaven of Herod. He goes, beware of the little bit that you think is not a big deal. Beware of the little bit that you think is actually not, that's not that big of a deal. Because what will happen is that leaven will work its way through the whole and will affect the whole. Let's examine for a second these pillars that we've put in place. This pillar number one, putting God first. It's essential because it shows us how to pattern and prioritize our lives. Again, I'm not making schedules and calendars and telling you what you shouldn't do, but the pillar of putting God first, it matters because it teaches us, how am I patterning? How am I prioritizing? How am I living my life in a way that says, God, above all else, I honor you and you come first. This pillar we laid in place as truth as our standard is essential as it shows us the things that we are and are not going to do. It helps us to pattern our behavior. It sets the limits, the boundaries, the borders of our life. But here's the reality. You and I, we have three things at all time that are raging against those two pillars. We have our own flesh. And I know we're in church, but don't act like you're super spiritual and super holy. All of us, we have this thing called the flesh that oftentimes rages against the idea of saying, no, God comes first and truth is our standard. This is why Proverbs 14:12 says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to destruction, because there are ways in our flesh that seem right to us. We got our flesh. We have the world and the culture that we live in. In case you have not tuned in yet, we're living in 2024 in an American culture that predominantly rages against the idea that God is God and that God should have the first priority and the first place in our life. I don't care if you want to talk political or you just want to talk the dynamics of our social culture. We live in a world that rages against the idea of saying, no, we honor God above all else. And God knows we live in a culture that rages against the idea of truth being the standard. What truth? I mean, who gets to decide truth? Truth's relative. My truth, it doesn't have to be your truth. And we live in a world where our flesh, the culture, and the enemy is always trying to get us to have this mentality. And it's not that bad. It's not a big deal. I mean, it's fine. I mean, technically, sure, I know that technically the Bible says, but I mean, come on, it's 2024. Like, it's not a super huge deal. And this pillar that we're talking about today of saying, no, there's no compromise, no compromise. It is essential because it is what safeguards the first two pillars. Having a heart and having a home, having a life that goes, no. Hey, as for me and my household, we will not compromise. It is what safeguards us in keeping with a spirit that says we honor God first and his truth is our standard. What I want to do this morning is I want to very quickly give you three thoughts as to why this is such a big deal and how we apply this to our life. Number one, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. I want you to capture this thought as it helps us to see the importance of having a no compromise spirit, that whatever you allow will eventually make its home and stay. I think we forget sometimes that we live in a place here on earth that the Bible goes, the whole thing operates on this thing called seed time and harvest. Bible says that God does not mock whatever a man sows or plants, that he'll also reap. In other words, every part of our life, it's kind of like planting seeds. We forget that sin and immorality, that it always starts a seed form. Remember hearing a story about this man was talking about these principles, and this man had a testimony of how God had saved and had delivered him from a bunch of stuff. And he said, you know, I never thought I would wake up at however old he was and be addicted to pornography. I never thought I'd wake up one day and have such a compromised life internally, and I certainly never thought that I would have committed adultery and destroyed my family in that way. And he said, I think about sometimes, I wish when I was a little boy that I wouldn't have stopped and lingered so long in the grocery store looking at the magazines on the aisles. It's not a big deal. Come on. Like, seriously, like, it's the world we live in. Yeah, but he talks about remembering how as a little boy, seeds were being planted in his heart. Seeds were being planted on the inside. Seeds of compromise, seeds of sexual immorality. And seeds left undealt with grow into trees and gardens and whole forests, don't they? And I think we have to realize that we got to be so careful, because whatever we allow, eventually, maybe not right away, but eventually it makes its home in our life, makes its home in the culture of our home. It sets up residence and it stays right there. Bible says, Joshua 13:13, we read this. It says, nevertheless, the children of Israel, they didn't drive out the Jeshurites or the Maacathites. So the Jeshurites and the Maacathites, they dwell among the Israelites until this day. We're not going to deal with that. I guess it's fine if they stay. Joshua 15:63 says, yeah, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Israel, they just didn't want to deal with the hassle that it was to drive them out. They couldn't drive them out. And so what happened? They dwell among them until this day. Numbers 33:51, it says this, the Lord is speaking, and he says, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you've crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones. Destroy all their molded image and demolish all their high places. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Exodus chapter 23, verse 32 says, they shall not dwell in your land, listen to this, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. The Bible is clear, Old Testament to New Testament, that the way we are to live our lives is to drive out anything and everything that is compromised. Can I just ask you this morning, is there anything that you're allowing in your life right now? You can reason and rationalize your way into why it's okay, but you know in your heart, that's not okay. Are there any areas of your life that you're allowing compromise? You're allowing compromise in your home. What is playing in the AirPods that you bought your kids for Christmas? What is happening on their cellular device? What are the things that you're opening doors and allowing into your home through entertainment? What are the areas where you just, it's not a big deal. It's, come on, man, it's fine. I can, because the Bible teaches us that what we allow to stay, what we allow in, eventually makes its home. It stays. And the habits and the patterns begin to dictate and determine the way we live, the future of our children, and the culture of our home. So how do we deal with this? Number two, I want you to write this down. We have to drive out all that is not of God. You ever, and if this is you, I mean absolutely no offense. Have you ever observed like a really, really gentle, soft parent disciplining their kids? Like you got some kid just, you know, like doing something that's not okay. And they're like, hey, question, do you think that's the best idea? Hey, question, do you think maybe we should not kick that person's cat? Whatever it may be. And sometimes I think we treat sin like this. We treat areas of compromise as, well, I mean, it's fine. It's not a huge deal. But what we see in Scripture, we just read two passages, we won't read it again, is that the commandment of God was you cross over and you drive out the enemy. You drive out that which is not of God. You, with intentionality, with authority, with vigor, if it requires, you drive out of your life. You drive out of your home that which is not of God. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 19, verse 45 and 46. I want to read this to you. Speaking of Jesus, it says, then he went into the temple and he began to, here's those words, drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Go back to Luke 19, 45. The Bible goes that he went into the temple. Let's just stop and consider for a second. Jesus went into his house. What is the temple? It's the house of God. Jesus went into his home, into his house, and he began to, with authority, drive out those who bought and sold. Why? Because he was saying unto them, hey, it is written, the truth of the scripture has declared, my house, it is not a house for buying and selling and merchandise. My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Did you know that phrase, drive out? It's the exact same phrase in the original language that we see in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, where Jesus says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will drive out. It's the exact same Greek phrase. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. It says, and he called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them power over every unclean spirit, same exact phrase, to drive out or to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Did you know that in Christ you've been given power and authority to drive out anything and everything that is evil? Did you know that you've been given power and authority to drive out compromise, to drive out that which is not of God? I remember when we first moved into our home. I think I've told this story before, but a couple days in, it's like 7 a.m., and I hear at the door. That's an aggressive knock for 7 a.m. And I look out the window, and the sheriff department's there. And I'm like, oh man, all right. So I open the door and he goes, are you William Wallace? The guy from Braveheart? No, that's not me. Are you William Wallace? I'm like, no. I need some ID. And I'm like, oh Lord Jesus, yes, where is my ID? I'm not trying to go to jail right now. And apparently there was someone who lived in our home previously, or is the address they had, who there were multiple warrants out for this person's arrest for I don't know what. I looked it up. I couldn't find it, to be honest. I'm like, what did this guy do? A couple months later, it's about 9 o'clock at night, and I hear a this is aggressive. And I go, and same thing, Sheriff's Department. Are you William Wallace? And no, sir, I promise you I'm not William Wallace. I'm like, I know the drill. I'm like, I know the drill, man. Here's my ID. Just check it out. You've already been here before. And as they're radioing, hey, that's not the guy, there's like 10 police officers that come out from the side. Our house was surrounded. My first thought was, these stupid dogs I have. How did my whole house get surrounded and they're asleep here next to the open window? You're not doing your job. But multiple times, I've just thought, huh. Like, I know there's not a devil behind every door. But what kind of stuff was happening in this house before we moved in? What kind of things were on this property before we moved in here before? And every time I think about it or the Lord prompts me, I'm reminded you have been given power and authority to drive these things out. I've walked my neighborhood, I've walked my house in the name of Jesus. Anything and everything that is unclean, that's of an evil spirit, I command you to leave. You might be sitting here, and there actually might be things, if you really think about it, ask the Lord to help you to consider, there might be things living in your house right now, just spiritually, that you've actually opened the door to. You've opened doors and windows. I just can't figure out why it just seems like we're always coming up against this thing. I just can't figure out right now why this is happening with our children. Have you ever considered? There might be some open doors and some open windows, some things you went, it's not a big deal. It's fine. Can I tell you, in the name of Jesus, you've been given power and authority and actually responsibility. First and foremost in the spirit, but secondly in the practical, to go, no, we're living with no compromise. We are going to drive out in the name of Jesus anything that is sin, anything that is evil, anything that is of a foul spirit that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy from my life, from the life of my kids. It is not allowed to live here. We're not doing what Israel did, and we're not just saying, ah, it's not a big deal. They can stay. No, if you let it stay, it's going to live there. It's going to ensnare. You have to drive it out. Not only do you have to drive it out, but you can jot this down, third thought today, but you have to walk cautiously and use discernment. I want to read you this definition. It's not an official definition, but from a couple different sources, I kind of put this definition together. Discernment in the Bible, it means to walk with great perception, using one's senses, intellect, and being led by the Spirit, being aware of and sensitive to what is happening, and walking with great caution. What is discernment? Discernment in the Bible, it's walking with great perception by your senses, your intellect, and led by the Spirit, being aware and sensitive to what's happening and walking with great cautions. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment." Hey, you know what I'm praying for you? That you would live and walk with discernment. Ephesians 5:15, Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly. See then that you walk with wisdom. See then that you walk with caution, not as fools, but as wise." 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual," listen to this, "judges all things." The person who is spiritual, who's walking led by the Spirit of God, they're discerning, they're judging all things. There's a passage in Joshua, and We don't have time to read the whole chapter, but I'd encourage you to go back and to read Joshua chapter 9. But I want to read you a couple things from Joshua. Joshua 9:3, it says, "But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and went in and pretended to be ambassadors. They took some old sacks on their donkeys, some old wineskins torn and mended them. They took old patched sandals on their feet and old garments on themselves. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to all the men of Israel, 'We have come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us.'" If you read the whole passage, the people of Gibeon are going, "Oh man, we're toast. Because like this nation just crossed over the Jordan. And it appears to us that God is with them. And they are just driving everyone out. There hasn't been a nation or a king or a people yet who have been able to withstand them, for God is with them. And so here's what we're going to do. We ain't going to fight. Now, we can already see if we fight, we're toast. So we're gonna try to be crafty. It says that they went and they went to Goodwill. They got all the stuff that they could get to make it look like, you know, they're thrifting right now. We're getting, you know, hey, you got any socks with holes in them? Bring the holy socks. Hey, you got any shoes? Okay, bring the shoes that are all messed up. And they made it look as if they've been on this long journey. Hey, you got any dry, crusty, moldy bread? Give us that. And they come to Joshua and the children of Israel, and this is their story. Oh, we come from a far land, and we've heard of the glory of your God. And so we just came from this far. I mean, look, when we first left, these were brand new threads, and now they're all torn and messed up. This was fresh baked sourdough. Now it's dry. It's been a long journey, and we've come to worship your God. And here's what the Bible says in Joshua chapter 9, fast forward the tape. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them, made a covenant with them, and let them live there. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them, "We won't do any harm to you. We can't beat them. Nope. God's with them. They're taking everyone out. But maybe we could deceive them." You know, this is how the enemy works, right? Because there are those of you here that if something is blatant in your face, clear sin, you're like, nope, we serve God. No sin here. The enemy goes, all right, if we can't beat them, I bet we could deceive them. And here they come. We travel from a very far land. We're just here to give glory and honor and worship, like just make a covenant with us. And the Bible says that Joshua readily goes, oh man, you brought us presents? We'll for sure take those. And they did not ask counsel of the Lord. You'll read later on, these people were a snare to Israel. Joshua and Israel got severely corrected by the Lord. Why? Because they're not walking cautiously or with discernment. Can I tell you, there are areas where, yeah, it's blatant, outright sin, and we got to say no compromise. But then there's areas that we can't see it from the surface. There's opportunities that you're going to get. There's things that your kids are going to encounter. And on the surface, you can't see, I don't think this is bad. I don't think this is wrong. I don't think this is sin. I think we're probably okay with this one. But could it be possible there are scenarios like this and we can't see it on the surface, but beneath, it's a lure of the enemy. The enemy's fishing for you. And I just know so often we take the bait. And by the way, we can be very prideful and very self-righteous. And so if anybody even questions that you might be taking the bait, how dare you? We serve God. I feel like you're being a little nosy right now. I feel like you're sticking your nose where it does. I'm telling you, it's not bad. It's not wrong. And we will argue until we're blue in the face because we maybe don't want to admit there actually maybe are some areas that I'm not walking with discernment. I'm not walking cautiously. I'm not saying, Lord, I want to live a life that honors you and serves you. I want to live a life where you come first and truth is my standard, where I'm driving out anything the enemy's trying to bring into my life. I want to have kids that serve you and honor you. I want generations that serve the Lord. And so God, I'm walking cautiously. Well, hold on. Where'd you say you were from? No, hold on. I don't need your present right now. Can someone check into these guys right here? They're saying they're from a far country. let's take a minute before I swear to you and make covenant with you and I invite you into my home to live forever. I got to go talk to him. Parents, are we asking and seeking counsel of the Lord in all the decisions we're making? Or does the administration of our school get to dictate that? Are we really seeking God and asking counsel for every opportunity we're saying yes to? Or has the social contract of the day informed us as to what we should and should not do? Are we stopping and going, hold on. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord. So I'm not saying that we're not gonna do things that happen, but God, we're not doing anything before we seek and ask the counsel of the Lord. God, would you lead me? God, would you lead our family? Before we get on another team, before we commit to another activity, before I say yes to this promotion, God, would you lead us? We're trying to walk cautiously, living with discernment, so that we don't unintentionally give the enemy places in our life that become snares to us, that eventually take our heart away from serving God and begin to serve other things. We got to live with a no compromise spirit. Here would be the conclusion of today. We have to stop and just take account, don't we? We got to stop, and I'd ask that you prayerfully take an account of your life, of your household, and just say, Lord, today, would you help me to see and to know if there are any things where we've let compromise in? God, are there any areas where that culture, it's not that bad, it's not, where that mentality has crept in to my thinking, to my living, to my parenting? God, are there any areas where I've actually like made covenant and I've welcomed things in? It's actually not what you were saying. I'm not walking, asking counsel of God. Because here's what I love. God is so faithful. The Bible says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That God is so faithful to send us his Spirit, not to condemn us, but to convict us. Condemnation makes you feel bad, makes you feel guilty. Condemnation drops your shoulders and pushes you away from God. But conviction opens your eyes. Conviction causes your hands to stretch out. Conviction leads you to call upon God and say, oh God, I need your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. I need you to help me to live the way you've called me to. And the God is so faithful that when we come to him and genuinely say, God, with all my heart, I want to live right before you. With all my heart, God, I want to honor you. I want to steward what you've given me. God, with all my heart, I want to have a godly home. I want to raise godly kids. God, I know we don't always do it right. So would you lead me? Holy Spirit, would you convict me of any areas of my life where there's compromise? And would you empower me through your Spirit to drive them out? Here's the Bible says, I close with this, that if we would but confess our sins to him, that he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I don't care where you are right now. Did you know that you could leave here today fully and freely forgiven and clean before God? If we would just come to God and go, God, I've been missing it big time. I don't even know how I let so much compromise, but God, there's compromise. This is sin, God. I bring it to you and confess it as sin, that God is faithful, meaning he does every time, to fully and freely forgive us, make us righteous, and to clean us from the inside out, to wash us from the inside out. As we close, as we do every single Sunday, with a song of worship, I don't know what the team's going to lead us in, but as they lead us, I want to invite you to not only engage and respond, but I want to invite you to make this place an altar for the next 2-3 minutes and to open up your heart and say, God, is there anything? Are there any areas? And if there are, would you show them to me? And I challenge you that you leave here today, and before you even left here, that you'd open your mouth before God and say, God, I confess that as sin. And I'm asking you, would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me? And would you empower me to go from here and to drive it out of my life so that I can live a life that I honor you as first? Truth is my standard. And from this day forward, there is no compromise that I allow in my life or my household. Would you stand with me today while we respond in worship?
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.